Hello, and welcome to Investing Alpha, a podcast initiative from Amit Kumar Gupta of Adroit Financial Service Private Limited. If you want to know more about us or invest with us, please visit adroitfinancial.com. Adroit Financial is a SEBI registered portfolio manager.
This podcast is for informational purposes only. Stocks discussed here are only for illustrations and should not be construed as investment advice. Employees and clients of Adroit Financial may have positions in the stocks mentioned in the podcast.
Hello and welcome to episode 2 of Investing Alpha series. And today we are going to be reviewing the year 2020 in the financial markets. We are also going to be discussing some of the key economic trends of 2021. We are recording this on the 1st January evening. So firstly, Happy New Year to all our listeners and I wish everyone a healthy, peaceful and a prosperous new year. So this year has been totally forgettable and remarkably transforming at the same time. So much has happened so fast in very little time. It has been sort of a messy and a tragic year, but at the same time, you know, people who have been infected by the coronavirus, they have shown snippets of hope and resiliency. So anyways, it's always good to look back at the best and the worst thing which has happened in the last year and see, let's see how we are placed in 2021 as far as the financial markets are concerned. So most of the equity markets last year ended at all-time high levels in most of the countries, except probably a couple of countries in Europe, UK, FTSE ended around 8% loss. But most of the markets did end at all-time high levels or at least multi-year high levels. The global financial system is flush with a trillion of dollars in free liquidity thanks to central bank actions. Over 20 trillion worth of bonds are yielding negative returns globally. At the same time, the massive economic and social shock of this COVID pandemic that has left a lot of people and a lot of businesses in distress. Many of the businesses are not reached pre-corona levels. You know, the businesses which are in aviation, hospitality, tourism, exhibition, etc. So they are nowhere close to, you know, what was the pre-corona levels. As a result, the inequalities of income and wealth, they have risen to new highs. And that's a very key trend moving into the into this year. On the positive side, significant developments have been reported on the vaccine front to control the virus impact. Many countries have already authorized emergency use of the vaccines, US, UK and Russia, etc. And many people are being administered administered to be, you know, have these vaccines implemented on them in many of these countries. Even though, you know, in the last fortnight of December, we had a small twist where a fresh wave of mutated version of coronavirus that was reported from some places in Europe, especially UK, and which resulted in a sort of a new set of lockdown restrictions. That indicates, you know, to me that there's a possibility that world may not return to normalcy in many months to come. In any case, as per the various estimates, it would take 12 to 18 months to vaccinate a sizable population so that herd immunity can be reached against the virus. And if there are more cases of, you know, such kind of mutated versions coming out, then that thing that could, you know, put a break on the growth in the coming days. On the other hand, the pandemic has accelerated many trends that may cause sustainable, faster development in the medium to long term. So that's what is interesting to me and interested for the any investor who is investing in the Indian assets. So in this podcast, we are going to discuss a few trends, economic, social and political trends, which I think would be critical in 2021. So firstly, what is the political scene? The Indian government imposed a total lockdown in the wake of outbreak of the coronavirus pandemic from 25th March this year. So the restrictions were relaxed from June onwards under unlock scheme. So I think it's very, very difficult to assess the utility and true impact of a lockdown exercise. So we would never know, you know, what could have been the situation if the lockdown was not imposed in March, whether it could have been worse in terms of economic and health shocks, or the economic shock which came because of the lockdown, you know, which could have been a, you know, worse kind of a situation. But what it has told us and what we have learned is that, you know, the current government is unpredictable and it can take decisions which can have far-reaching repercussions rather quickly, and that they can do it without adequate planning and without bothering about the consequences in terms of human suffering. So we shall continue to incorporate that feature in our investment strategy, and we would consciously avoid businesses which are dependent on very high policy making or government intervention, or which is very highly dependent on payments from the government, whether they are our suppliers or the vendors in the supply chain. So we will continue to incorporate that feature. We have followed that in 2020 as well, avoiding most of the PSUs, and I think we are going to continue that in 2021 as well. Second interesting thing, which the trend which we have decided not to participate is the whole trend of the climate change. During the lockdown, when the human activities and the mobility, they were restricted to a great deal globally, the nature attempted to reclaim its space. There were instances of peacock dancing on city streets, deer, sheep, lions even coming and roaming freely on public roads. Air quality improved. We had like visibility of few hundred kilometers. I know that some of my friends living in Chandigarh, they could see the Himalayas, which is about 150, 180 kilometers at least from Chandigarh. Within the 15 days of unlocking, the human reclaimed the entire territory again from the nature. So, I mean, I'm not belittling the enthusiasm behind all the sharing of pictures of nature on social media, but it is clear that we have moved too far on the path of self-destruction. On the other hand, digital meetings and work from home that has been adopted at sort of, base level for many businesses, that has bring immediate tangible benefits to both the employer and the employee. And we have seen a lot of movement of the employees, moving back to their native towns, etc. So, that has led us to conclude that, any global agreement on climate will not succeed unless it has got immediate and, tangible economic payoff for the parties, and it has to be very, very direct and very immediate. All this Paris Accord and Kyoto Protocol, I think they are not going to be very investment worthy even in this year, unless we start seeing some tangible economic benefits for Indian businesses and consumers. Third trend is that we are going to have a new dimension to the risk management process, to the trading strategies and the option pricing methods. If you remember in April this year, something which has never happened happened in the global commodities market, which was the WTI crudes are traded negative, and that lead to a lot of changes with the exchanges as well, with the traders, how the risk management could have been done. So that has added new dimensions. So I expect this trend to continue, where the risk management processes will become more robust going forward. You'll have new trading strategies to take into account these kind of exceptional moves coming into the markets. So that makes us a little positive on all the exchanges listed in the listed space and how they can build up their volumes as well. Fourth trend is with the respect to the digital currency. Bitcoin was sort of a vogue till 2009-10, last global financial crisis. And even though it was accepted as a medium of exchange in many countries, it never gained wider acceptance as a lot of sort of a legitimate assets like gold or currency. But in 2020, most of the reputable global investors have accepted Bitcoin as a sort of a futuristic store of value, just like gold or the US dollar. And obviously that has come with on the back of a very sharp outperformance against the precious metals. But I think this is probably the beginning of what we are going to see as the acceptance of Bitcoins, sort of a beginning of a new era on the global monetary system. So I believe that the neutral digital currencies will continue to gain prominence, and maybe this prominence would diminish the dominance of gold, silver and US dollar as global reserve currencies. Currently less than 5% allocation is there in the institutional holdings of crypto, but I believe this can accelerate in the coming year. This allocation can accelerate. Another thing which we noted was what happened in England, where Prince Harry, who was sixth in line to succession or to being the throne of England, he renounced his royalty and he migrated to USA along with the wife, Meghan. Obviously, we also had finalized now, finally, after so many years of negotiation, that Britain will be exiting European Union. So I'm not sure that, what exactly will be the immediate impact on the future prospects of the UK. In any case, that's a keen observation point for our investment strategy to see if there are some negative impacts which is coming from the exit of UK from the European Union. Because of that, as we discussed earlier in the podcast also, we had seen FTSE ending at a sort of an 8-year low. It was down about 7.5% year on year, but it has never closed that down in 8 years. So the market has given its verdict as far as the Brexit is concerned. But we need to see what exactly is going to be the impact, especially if you are invested in any of the European countries or any of the countries, any of the companies whose revenue is dependent on the Britain, then that needs to be evaluated again. Another trend which we saw was with respect to the private equity players coming in. So we had this massive Reliance Industries FDI coming in, which was led by Mukesh Ambani, and he managed to convince a lot of global business leaders about Jio and retail, both Reliance Jio and Reliance retail potential. And we had this Facebook, Amazon, Google. You had investors like KKR, Carlyle, GIC, ADIA. They invested in the digital and retail ventures. We've also seen global petroleum majors like BP and Aramco also planning to commit a large investment in the fuel business of Reliance as well, the petchem business. And if these investments are consummated successfully in next few years, then we should see more of Indian businesses getting attention of the global business leaders and investors. I believe Reliance has laid the foundation, so to speak, and if this goes well in the next few years, and we shall be evaluating some of the large viable but maybe debt indebted businesses from that viewpoint, that they can also, you know, sell some stake to global players and get themselves debt free, and that could be a turning point for investment in these companies. Lastly, you know, we have seen, as far as the political situation is concerned, we have seen a lot of protests against Citizen Amendmentship Act before the coronavirus happened, and recently we have seen a lot of protests against the farm reforms. You know, that has strengthened our belief that the mistrust between BJP and the opposition parties that have sort of breached the red line. The political environment is going to get vicious, and we have elections due this year in West Bengal and Odisha, and we do not expect any political consensus on a lot of these issues. So for our investment strategy, that is our base assumption, that we are not going to expect any political consensus, and whatever reforms are going to happen, they will happen at a very slow pace. And even if the reforms are good, there could be some dilution, as we are seeing in the, you know, farm reforms as well. So we do believe that BJP does not have a credible opposition. Congress is getting further weakened, so getting majority votes in Rajya Sabha also will not be a major issue. But you know, the reversal for BJP looks very difficult at this point of time, even if you look out in for 2024 elections as well. So we do believe that the political consensus will be a little difficult, even though they will be able to pass a lot of legislations. So that's it from my side. Do like and subscribe to the channel for more podcasts, and I'll catch you next week in the next episode of Alpha Investing. Take care. Till then, stay safe and wear a mask every time you step in.
Thank you for listening to Investing Alpha, podcast initiative from Amit Kumar Gupta of Adroit Financial Services Private Limited. Please connect on @AmitGupta0310 on Twitter for more market-related updates.